I think I just want to reflect briefly with you today on mission and on some of those passages that were just read for us. I hope that it is no surprise to you to find out that I believe in God. I believe in God. I really believe there's a God. And I really, really believe that that God is the God who created everything. From the most massive galaxy, star system thing, whatever they're called, to the tiniest, tiniest atoms and neutrons and all those little tiny, tiny things. God is behind it all. And not only is he behind it all, he is intimately connected with it all. And there has been no way that he has shown his connection more than when he became a man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And not only did he become a man, but he came the servant of men and women like you and me. The Creator becomes a servant. And he showed his great service of us as the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross all that time ago and laid his life down, two important words, for us. For you. For me. He did that. And there is, because of that and because of his resurrection, a real invitation to all, for those that are hungry, to come to him and eat. For those that are thirsty, to come to him and eat. For those that are unforgiven, to come to him for forgiveness. To those who are weary, to come to him for rest. Come to him. There's the invitation. We, as God's people, are people who have experienced his grace. Now, grace has been defined in all sorts of ways. One of the great ways I think grace is defined as God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace, that's a great way, isn't it? One of the other ways that actually the prayer book talks about grace is that we have been shielded from what we do deserve and given what we don't deserve. Grace. It is the free gift of God. 100% free. And if you've got grace, if it's gripped you, then you and I need to realize that if we've got it, it's not because we got it, it's because we were given it. Conversion. Have you been converted? Have you been given grace? Let me just read a quote from a guy that I was reading. The Bible teaches we are not all journeying towards God, some having found him, others still seeking. Instead, Scripture presents us as needing to have our hearts replaced, our minds transformed, and our spirits given life. We can do none of this for ourselves. The change each human needs, regardless of how we may outwardly appear, is so radical, so near our roots, that only God can bring it about. We need God to convert us. He goes on to say, I fear that one of the results of misunderstanding the Bible's teaching on conversion may well be that evangelical churches are full of people who have made sincere commitments at some time in their lives, but who have not experienced the radical change that the Bible calls conversion. One of the questions that we must ask ourselves is why do we meet together? Why do we come together week after week? I mean, why didn't, if God chose you, why wasn't there some divine vacuum cleaner that the minute, you know, you said yes to Jesus, sucked up, boom, up to heaven and you know, there with him? Why has he left us here? And not only why has he left us here individually, why has he left us here and gathered us with others who have experienced his grace? Why has he left us on the planet? Well, the truth is, God has a plan for this planet and he includes us in that plan. He invites his creation to participate in his purposes for creation. He invites us to play a part. So we heard that reading in Colossians that we are to set our hearts on things above and later on to set our minds on things above where Christ is seated. That we have a horizon, and on that horizon is the future that God will bring in without a doubt. Well, what's on your horizon? I say, oh, what's on my horizon is, well, if you're at school, you might say, the next holidays. Been at school for 3 days this year. That's what I'm looking for, the next holidays. Or maybe you've been working and you've got a holiday coming up. That's on my horizon, that holiday. Or maybe you've just bought a house or something and my horizon is paying off that mortgage, whatever it might be. Or maybe it's retirement. I'm looking forward to retirement. Or maybe you have retired. I'm looking forward to travelling somewhere, whatever it might be. Friends, small ambitions. There is a great thing on the horizon. It is God's thing on the horizon. And that's what should capture our hearts. That's what should determine our plans, is his great plan and participating in that. So Jesus says we are to be in the world, but not of the world. Paul will say that we are citizens not of this planet, but of heaven. And we are to live like that. So, if he has given us this gift of, how I can put it in this way, a tremendous hope, an afterlife, a real afterlife, then we need to see then that the life we have now is not all that there is. There is something great in the future that he has for us. The life we have now is the spare one that we can give away. That we can give away to others, and that we can give away with the knowledge of God's purposes, so we give ourselves away in line with those purposes, greatly confident that his purposes will be realized. And it's interesting that when we give away everything, when we give away this spare life that we have, we don't actually lose anything. And not only do we not lose anything, we actually gain. Think of when we were going through Mark's Gospel, when we looked at chapter 8 of Mark's Gospel. It would be good to have a read of that again today. It's so easy for us to come to church week after week, and it's sort of a routine. And as the routine goes, we don't so much forget why we're coming together, but it just seems so regularly the conviction and the intensity and the urgency begins to wane. And what is most important is just making sure everything happens right. Just making sure we sing a song. Making sure we do a Bible reading. Making sure we have a sermon. Making sure we have the morning tea. And making sure someone locks up on the way out. But we're more than that, aren't we? So much more. We have a great privilege and great purpose in participating with God in his purpose for the planet. So have you ever just paused and watched people? Have you ever sat down in a shopping centre or in a busy place and just watched people in their busyness? They might be shopping, they might be working, they might be in sport, they might be relaxing. But have you ever just picked one person out and asked yourselves the question, does that person have any connection with Christianity anywhere in their lives? Do they have a relative who's a Christian? Do they have a friend who's a Christian? Is it possible that there are people locally who will live day by day by day without any opportunity to be confronted or challenged with the claims of Jesus Christ. Let's give this guy a name. Let's call him Aussie Eddie. There's Eddie. It seems like Eddie will have very little chance, even in Australia, to connect with the things about Jesus. And if the statistics are correct, then 60% of Aussie Eddies do not even know someone who goes to church. Which means they either really don't know someone who goes to church, or they do know someone who goes to church, but that person hasn't told them that they go to church. And it's bigger than going to church, isn't it? It's having that relationship with the God of the universe. It would seem that Aussie Eddie doesn't have much chance. Friends, as we've been saying, this month we want to raise the profile of mission, and not just mission out there in Cooper Pedy, or in Newman, or in Arnhem Land, or in Tanzania, or in Namibia, or in Papua New Guinea, places that we support, but local mission for Comboyne, for Lawn, for Kew, for Laurieton, for North Haven, for Bonnie Hills, for Lake Cadai, and those far-flung reached places like Port Macquarie and even Wauchope. Our prayer is that over this month we will become a little more informed about mission overseas, nationally and local. And being a little more informed, then giving our attention a little more to it. And in fact, unashamedly being asked to give more to it. I suppose what I really encourage you to do, maybe you could do this sometime today or this week, is just take a piece of paper and write down on that piece of paper the people that you connect with and the people that you don't connect with but would like to, maybe a neighbour or something that you've actually never got around to getting next door and saying g'day, or something like that, someone at work that you've never quite got around to saying hello to, or someone at the Probus Club that you never quite connected with. Because as you write your list, Aussie Eddie will appear on that list. He'll be there, or she'll be there, Aussie Edna. I really believe there's a God. And I really believe he turned up on the planet in Jesus Christ. And I really believe he died for us. And I really believe he rose again and he's returning. And his plan is what the one plan that will be realized. And let me finish by just reminding you, I know I've told this story before, that C.S. Lewis tells the story of Satan trying to work out how to get people to be distracted from salvation. And he asks the demons for some advice. Anyone got any ideas? One demon puts his hand up and says, "Well, why don't we tell them all that there's no heaven?" Well, Satan thinks about it and he says, "Yeah, good idea. It probably won't work real well because, you know, he set eternity in their hearts and they have this real awareness of there's something more to it. There's something deep down that says there's more." No, that's not going to work. Another one put up, well, let's say there's no hell. And Satan says, "Oh, that's a clever one. I don't think about that one." No, he says, people have an inbuilt sense of, you know, things are going to have to be accountable. We have an accountability for things and there'll be some righting and wronging of things. And yeah, when Jesus was on the planet, he talked about hell more than he talked about anything else, it seems. So no, that's not going to quite work. And one last demon put his hand up. And he says, what about we tell him there's no hurry? And Satan said, oh, that's perfect. There's no hurry. I wonder if you've believed that lie. There's no hurry. Friends, there is a tremendous urgency that we line our plans up with Jesus' plans. And so I want to challenge you with that today. And just ask you maybe to take your hands and maybe you put your hand on your heart and you say, you know, yeah, I want to put my heart into this. And as you put your hand on your heart and say, I want to do this, you put your hands together and say, I'm going to pray about this. And as you pray about this, you then take your hand and you dig it deep into your pocket. You say, I'm going to give to this. Well, will you do that with your hands? Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to do something a little different. But to do something a little different to remind us of that important, important perspective that there is a great plan. And by your grace, not only are we saved for absolute free, you paid it all, but you then invite us to the privilege of participating in this plan for the planet. And so, Father, we pray that we would put our hands on our hearts and say, we want to be part of that. To put our hands together in prayer and to dig deep for resources. But also, Lord, to take up that piece of paper and to begin to write down so that we can find Aussie Eddie and Aussie Edna and to be able to pray for them and to share with them about the Lord Jesus. And so, Father, we come before you as your people here today, not just people who go to church, but people who've been gripped by your grace and together to shine brightly to the world that we, our own world in our own lives, but together as your church here in the Camden Haven. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are going to sing a fantastic song. An important song to sing. This will be our collection song, Opportunity to Give Generously. Straight after this song, we'll conclude and we'll be heading out under the veranda just to have some morning tea and the like. Can I encourage you, please connect with Renee. Please connect with Kirsten. Catch up with the Llewellyns and one another as we think through all that's happening as a part of the church. So please stand. And let's sing When I Survey.